What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear. Well, hot damn. I feel like there's no other way to re-enter, would we call it a new season of Just So We're Clear?
It has been long enough that to not call it a new season is disrespectful.
Fair. Well, on that note, welcome to the new season, guys.
Season 5, also year 3. We just had our third birthday.
I know. And I don't know if you longtime listeners remember or not. Also for the new time listeners, we launched this podcast on International Women's Day
because 2020.
We empowered. And you know what? I want to give a little kudos to us because remember how at the beginning of 2020, everybody was like, man,
I'm gonna do a podcast. And then 3 episodes in, they were like, man, this is way harder than it looks.
This podcast is probably one of the longest commitments that I have seen through. To be fair. Yeah, that's it.
It is officially longer than any relationship I've ever had.
Oh my God.
I just realized this now. Oh, that's embarrassing.
No, that's a good thing. And think about it. If it's season 5, if the podcast is our baby, they'd be like, what, in preschool right now?
They would have said their first words.
What would their first words have been?
You don't ask me that.
I know.
Ick.
Mama, I have ick. But regardless, here we are kicking off the new season. And I just want to say to you guys tuning in, we've freaking missed you. We've missed doing the podcast. It has been a crazy last few weeks since we've touched base. So much has happened.
So much has happened. It's a new year even.
Like, where do we even begin? Let's start with the traditional vibe check, but let's mature it a little bit. Let's do the thing that we do when we go through the MEPS list.
The MEPS.
What's the MEPS?
The MEPS. The mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Okay. Mentally, I'm good. I'm actually very good. Work is interesting. There's a lot of uncertainty, but it's terrifying. And I actually am learning to embrace the chaos. So that's good. Emotionally, pretty decent, I would say. Should I go into this? So I started seeing somebody.
Marissa's in a relationship. You guys, Marissa has a boyfriend.
Which is very new territory because it's been about 3 years since my last. And also I'm realizing that I find it more unnatural to have someone else in the mix than it is to be alone. I'm so used to being alone that it's so much of an adjustment factoring in someone else's presence. So that's a learning curve. Physically, I'm 50-50 because your girl threw her back out and realizing she's 31 and I could not bend over to tie my own shoes. Someone literally put my shoes on for me.
That someone was her boyfriend.
It was. And I am so grateful for that. And then spiritually, I actually think I'm very content right now. I feel very good.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. I feel like that's all positive. You know what? The roundup of your MEPS tells me that you feel at a very secure place.
I do. I feel like even where there are uncertainties or areas of unpredictability, I kind of feel very secure in my ability to handle whatever that's going to look like. So I don't have everything figured out, but I'm okay with that.
That's a great place to be.
It's
31
scary.
And thriving. Actually, you know what? I hope that's what the 30s general theme is of, like, you know what? I'm not sure, but I'm okay with not being sure. Because 20s, they were confusing. And all my older friends were like, 30s is it. And so now that we're here, like, let this be it.
Yeah, I think everyone tells you the 30s are the best because you have everything figured out. But the truth is that, no, you don't have everything figured out. It's just that you're cool with it.
Exactly.
Like, that's a nice feeling. That,
so, so true. I love that. Okay, so my turn. M-E-P-S. Mips. Mentally, I feel like I'm not at my best in terms of my focus.
Okay.
So I have had a really big eruption of ambition this year. And I've had one of those, like, breakthroughs where I've seen a path that I want to go down in terms of career and creation. Mm-hmm. So, like, I see what it is I need to do. A lot of things have made sense to me in terms of the direction I want to go down, what I want to build, a new business. But I don't have the focus right now. You know what I mean? Like, I see the stepping stones, but I don't see the handrails.
Is this a procrastination thing?
It's a procrastination thing. It's an imposter syndrome thing. It is.
Is this a procrastination as the result of perfectionism? So your need to know exactly how something is going to go is actually stopping you in your tracks from actually taking the first step?
I mean, most likely. I mean, there's definitely trauma involved somewhere. But
we learned about that when we started this podcast and we went, fuck it, do it anyway.
I guess.
And then we figured it out. So.
I guess. I'm basically looking at this new business that I want to launch, but... And I think I know the steps to get there, but I just don't feel fully confident in holding myself accountable for it.
Okay, well, what's the worst that can happen if you take the first step and it's the wrong one?
That I absolutely fail, or I disappoint people, or I launch something and ruin my reputation around it. There's a lot that can fail.
How can you fail from the first step if the first step doesn't determine anything?
Listen, I have been brought up in a household where right before we go to bed, my mom would say, if you're going to do anything, make sure you're going to do it well. And that has haunted me my entire life. So mentally, the reason I'm not feeling focused is because I don't feel confident that the steps that I'm going to take, I'm going to do them that well yet.
What if you reframed it to just, if you're going to do anything, make sure you do the best you can possibly do? Because then it's less about making sure the thing is perfect and more about just making sure you're putting in the conscious amount of effort.
True, but my standard of my best for myself is such a double standard to how I see the rest of the world, because I hold myself at a very high standard.
Yeah.
So the thought of not reaching it and failing it is just, it gets me irritated. So I feel like it's definitely perfectionism and procrastination. But it's also a new field that I want to enter. I want to do something involved in wellness, you guys. And I've always been interested, but I've never been involved. And so it's just like a lot of fears around something new. So where my mind is at, it's like there's a big bubble of that going on. So that's fun.
I mean, all my comments are things that you already know, because they're all the kinds of things that you could like stitch on a pillow or a tote bag. But like, don't you also think that in not trying at all, that's a failure in and of itself?
But I'm going to try. I'm just at the point where I'm like looking at the road ahead being like, I need support. So I will get there. I'm looking for a coach or a mentor. I'm actually like actively seeking some sort of true guidance for my next steps, because
sure.
Because the thing is, the reason that I don't feel confident of being able to do it all by myself is because it's new territory. And I just think that in order to do something well, like lean and get support, I need to find the right support. It's a whole process. I'll update you as it goes. It's too fresh to get too into it.
Okay.
Okay.
I have my comments.
I know you
I'll
do.
I'll save them for the after the
we're later. Later. Because we're still on MEPS. M.
We're still on the first one. What about your eh?
Emotionally, I feel very good as well. I too am in a relationship. Look at us. But this relationship feels like the right relationship in the sense that my needs are matched. And I've had a whole lot of positive learnings about myself, about my past. And in general, it feels really solid. I feel compact. Physically, listen, okay? I had like 3 drinks on Friday.
You still hungover.
And I'm still not good. Like, what the fuck is this? Oh, man. So, yeah, physically, the reality of the ability 30s. To party is definitely there. And then spiritually, yeah, I'm feeling good. I feel connected with myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's focus in on the physical and our inability to handle what our 20-year-old bodies would have been absolutely fine with. Because I've just shared that I threw my back out, and you've just shared that you can't handle 3 cocktails on a Friday, and it is now Monday.
It's, dude, it's disgusting. What the heck has happened? Also, like, just, like, sugar. Like, I just,
sugar is the enemy.
You just, I can't have sugar anymore. Like, I went to a high tea, and there were pastries, and this was, like, at 2 p.m., and I was buzzing like a crazy person at 4 p.m. from the sugar high. And then I crashed at 5:30.
Do you get the sads?
What do you mean the sads?
Like when your blood sugar crashes and you get a little bit like,
yeah.
Duh. I hate that feeling.
So, yeah. You know, it's interesting because we started this podcast when we were like in our
late 20s. 28.
Yeah, but so much has changed in just those 2 years. And like our bodies change. And this is something that makes me a little upset at the elder ladies who came before us.
Because we figured all this out when our bodies gave up.
Yeah, like no one actually told us this era of life of what to expect.
Yes, they did. We didn't listen.
Did we?
Yeah, because every single person was like, watch out for your 30s. You're going to learn a lot, but you're also not going to be able to keep up as much. And then we were like, nah, I'm going to get the lessons and I'm going to be physically in my prime. And then what happened? You're still hungover and I can't tie my shoes. Like... And we're 30, like I'm 31. You're still 30. So like,
you know, the funny thing is that any girl or lady right now listening who is like mid 30s, she's probably shaking her head, cussing
she's like,
at us.
You just wait.
You just wait. You know that like
anyone menopausal is going to be like, anyone, fuck you guys.
They probably want to slap us. And to be fair, we probably deserve it.
100%. But also, it really hurts.
Remember, did you ever see this post where you're like, it's like when you see a fitness influencer in her early 20s and you're like, that doesn't impress me. Come back when you're 30.
Yeah. If you can still do that routine at 30, I'll be impressed.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Because when I was 20 and working out, I was unstoppable. I was never tired. And to do, and some of the stuff that they do is one whole workout was my warm up. And then now I'm like, that's 3 days.
You know
workout.
What? As a rule, I think moving forward, anyone who is of mm-hmm. the fitness industry giving advice online as a woman, I need you to be like
honest with me.
Honest with me, but like be in your 30s or better yet, be like a mom. Like go through that.
And then
be honest about what our bodies are going to go through. Because all the early Instagram girls, girl, they did not know, did they?
But also on social media, everyone's supposed to be like super aspirational, which is why I'm like, put your abs away. Like, I'm going to need a minimum of 3 rolls before I follow your workout. Because I want to feel like we're on the same level. I want to do a workout and be like, even if I can do it, I'm still not where you're at.
Mm.
And I'm never going to be where you're at.
Mm.
It's just not my body. And I don't want to look at, you know, like, your rock hard abs and your perfectly sculpted ass and your Botox forehead.
It gets to a point where like seeing someone with like a great body, it's like almost comical because you realize like that's really hard to achieve. How are you here right now?
I will say that I made a more conscious and active effort to separate what my physical goals are from my aesthetic goals. Because I was looking at all these influencers and looking at their workouts and being like, I can do all of this, but I don't look like them. And that differential is just, it's not good for your self-esteem. But if I was like, oh shit, I can actually do that workout, no problem. Like my fitness level is great. And then so I just started changing my goals slightly. So it doesn't actually look, it's not about what I'm going to look like and trying to compare myself to something that I know is unattainable, but at least I want to strive towards. It's just been about like, hey, what's going to be the thing that's going to impress yourself?
Hmm.
And so I started, dude, I literally started an Olympic lifting program.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, amazing, but what?
That's how I pump my back out. So clearly I'm not very good, but I'm getting there. I'm
her
practicing.
Olympic weight program is code for her boyfriend.
And that's how she pulled her back out.
Blew your back out.
And we're back.
We're back. So, in the last few weeks, life's been hectic, guys. We had freaking Christmas, New Year, Chinese New Year. Everyone's been saying the recession is coming and that it's here. Money's become a real freaking topic. Can we discuss that? What is, like, what?
TLDR is, I'm poor. And the thing is that, like, I wasn't poor. Then inflation hit. And then the recession hit. And then apparently we're not calling it a recession because the government's decided when and when it isn't a recession. It's a fucking recession. Look at it. Everything's expensive and everyone's losing their jobs. It's not fun.
It's not fun anymore. Every topic, honestly, guys, and I'm sure you're feeling it too. Everywhere we go, everyone's talking about the rental prices going insane, the cost of living, the prices of flights. Like, everything is just so adult and so real these days. And it's either talking about how expensive everything is or pregnancy and babies, because we're totally in that season. We're probably never going to leave that season for a good few years. I don't know about you, but I feel like it gradually happened. And then the moment that it's here, like, this is life. And I just feel so adult around it all of a sudden. And I don't like it.
I feel like a stale biscuit.
I don't like it. What happened to the young, juicy energy? Now we're talking about prices and birth.
So to take it back, let's say 10 years where mm-hmm. you just joined the workforce, right? And you're getting your first jobs and say you're earning, I don't know, $1,500, $2,000. And that's like your first paycheck. And you're like, holy shit, that is so much money. And you're like, you're having the time of your life because you're like, I can't believe I finally get to go out and like spend my hard-earned money. I'm going to go move out of my parents, like all those exciting things. And then suddenly over the course of that decade, and you know, you escalate in your career, suddenly you realize that even though you're earning more, you feel poorer. Because everything just, like, the costs around you just keep getting bigger and
bigger. So wait, you know what? This wasn't the original question I had when we started the episode, but this is the question at hand, which is being an adult all that?
Well, are we supposed to just give up now?
I don't know. I just need someone to be honest with me. Guys, honestly, are we having fun being adults?
What we're saying is Peter Pan had a point.
He had a point. The guy lived on an island and played with his friends all day.
Yeah, but did you also hear the, like, evil side of the Peter Pan plotline?
What, that was a yacht? That yacht with a captain on it?
Captain Hook was actually the good guy trying to save all the lost boys that Peter Pan stole.
Don't do this to me, girl. I'm still hungover. Don't do this to me.
That's why Peter Pan was aging. And then the crocodile with the clock was like, time.
Don't do this, girl. The enemy. Stop ruining adulthood for me.
Metaphors.
I don't know. I go in and out of, like, this whole adulting thing is. And you know what? I've come to realize the favorite people of mine and personalities I steer and gravitate towards are those that refuse to grow up in the best ways possible.
I think it's just more about always having room for your inner child to play.
Have a young spirit.
Yes.
Like, we are here in this world where so much realness is going on, and it can get very sad and depressing and stressful. Mental health, bills, all of those things are very real things. And yet, every now and then, you meet these people who, despite all the, like, weight of the world and adulthood and growing up and just reality, they still choose to be playful. They still choose to have a young spirit about them. And I just feel like, be those type of people.
But do you think we're not? Because, like, right now we're kind of getting bogged down by the sorts of conversations we seem to consistently be surrounded by. But, like, I don't think we're actually losing. Like, we're talking about it in this way and it's frustrating and it's stressful. But, like, we were just laughing,
girl,
about stupid shit.
It's true. What am I talking about? The other day, I met my boyfriend's parents.
Ooh,
and
talk about it.
We were sitting around. It was beautiful. They're really wonderful. Everything's been going great. But, like, we were at lunch and everyone at the table, just the four of us, but we're going around sharing their favorite life quote, right? And so the mother said something really honorable about just staying on the bright side, being positive. I can't remember what it was. And then his father said something about how life is like a field. There's no way to navigate through it. You just find the way by going through it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really beautiful.
That's lovely.
And girl, I was biting everything. I was holding everything back in my spirit to not say that my life quote was fuck bitches, get money. Fuck bitches, get money! You have no idea. You have no idea. I was sitting at this dinner table. Just
what's
like,
wrong with that?
Don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And that's how I know that I'm still incredibly immature.
So the way I know that I'm incredibly immature is that on Friday, I called one of my best mates in the States, and I was ended up in a group chat with him and his girlfriend, to which his girlfriend explained to me that Denver Airport is shaped like a penis.
Instant giggles.
Wait, I'm going to find it instant for you because giggles. It took me a moment.
Dude, like Denver, Colorado?
Yeah.
In America?
Yeah. Look at this.
I can't unsee that now.
It's a penis.
It's a dick.
They designed an airport to look like a dick.
That's really funny.
So I think we're fine. That's what I'm saying.
So if actually, if anything's a meter to measure our maturity, if we're going to be okay in this sad world.
If we're still making fun at dick jokes, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Like, I think it's easy for us to feel weighed down by, let's call it public discourse. Like every single time you look at the news, every single time you look at Twitter or Instagram, and everyone feels compelled to put their own little personal commentary on every single global crisis. And at some point you're just like, please, I'm just trying to take a nap. Like, I don't want to hear your take.
I don't want to hear your take.
No. That's why we have experts in the world. I want to hear theirs.
So I guess to round this little spiel off,
fuck bitches, get money.
Fuck bitches, get money. But just choose to not grow up. It's more fun that way. Inner child, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, respond the
skip
right
your
way.
Rent. Fuck your bills. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Flip the table. Throw a tantrum. It's all good.
Eat that donut.
So another question I wanted to ask you is, what's something in this sizable gap that we've taken between episodes, what's something that you've learned about yourself? Because if you're new to this podcast, this is what we do a lot, okay? Marissa and I basically sit here and we unleash like a journal and we share the lessons that life has taught us. So what's something that you can say in the last few months that mm-hmm. you've learned about yourself?
So consistently, and I think this is probably not unique to me, but it's true of everybody, is that when I get out of my own way, I am fucking incredible.
Okay, go on.
So it's two,
more.
Two streams, right? One, with this new relationship that I'm embarking on. This guy and I have known each other for about a year or so. And for the first time we tried to date, it just did not work. And we just weren't in the right places. It wasn't the right time. So there was a lot of factors as to why it couldn't have existed in that current form. And I think it worked out the way it was supposed to. But the thing that fundamentally changed in us sort of dating again was that I just loosened my grip on trying to know all the answers before I stepped into the ring. Which kind of circles back to the point you were talking about earlier, which is like, you kind of need to feel like you have certain amounts of things figured out before you start something.
Ah, yes.
I felt like that for a relationship.
Okay.
I was like, I need to know what this entire timeline looks like before I'm willing to take a leap here. And then I was like, well, what happens if we don't do that? And I stepped out, just let things flow. And now I'm dating probably one of the most remarkable people I've ever met. And I think
so cute.
He's great.
He is great from what I've heard. He's I haven't lovely. Met him yet, guys. I'll tell you what happens when I meet him. But he's so basically, yeah. You are basically, like, the way I hear it is that your lesson was in surrendering and just receiving.
Yes, in part. So that was like, that was theme one for sure. And now I can say I'm very content with starting something that I feel very comfortable exploring. And that's a really nice feeling to go back to earlier what we were saying, which is not having all the answers, but trusting we were going to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's great.
And also, when you're someone who's been hurt through relationships and you've been burned from love before, it takes a lot to open up again. I totally see that. But like, from being the hopeless romantic that I am, and I secretly know Marissa is too, you have to take the risk or else you'll never know.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, you know, like, you know, the friend that everyone has that, like, she cycles through boyfriends and she's always falling in love. She's always getting hurt. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're like, do you ever learn your lesson, girl? Like, why you keep making these same mistakes? Blah, 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 blah. On one hand, yes, we all have that friend. But on the other hand, I love that friend because she still doesn't give up on trying to, like, find love.
That's you in my life. Is in terms of, like, you will always be super open to accepting a new love that comes along your way. And I was the total opposite end of the spectrum where I was just like, I don't see the point. It hurts too much when it goes wrong. Mm. So I'd rather just be really cool on my own and just get on with it. Mm. And then, like, if someone's not perfect, they won't enter my space, which is a stupid standard to have because then...
then nobody will. Exactly. It's never going to happen.
Exactly. And that's why they didn't for 3 years. Because I didn't... I also only learned recently that the reason it's taking me 3 years is in having the conversations I'm currently having with this new person that I'm seeing, I'm realizing how closed off I was to any of those kinds of topics in the past 3 years. It's only been in this situation, in this environment, where I've been like, hey, I'm going to take ownership over a lot of hurt right now because I'm fully confident that you're not going to judge me for it and you're going to take me at my word. Mm. And that's a beautiful feeling. Like that, I think that's what lends itself to like my spiritual contentment is knowing that whatever comes up, good or bad, he's going to take with grace and like patience and non-judgment. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. EQ off the charts.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And it's also like when you realize that you are in a match where the person can offer you the same amount of energy that you would offer them.
Yes.
It's
because it feels like my equal.
Exactly. And not equal in like we are worthy of each other. No. We're equal in the way that we express and receive.
Yes. Like our ability to communicate very much goes two ways. I don't feel like what I'm saying or what he's saying ever falls on deaf ears. Like we fully acknowledge and understand what that person's trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get it, we will ask and make a point of understanding. And that's the most mature shit I've ever dealt with in my life.
My favorite realization of when you know that you're with a safe person, even not like romantic relationships, but even friendships, is when you're in a dynamic where the person never makes you feel like you are too much. Mm-hmm. Because for the right friendship, relationship, anything, you are never going to be too much.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in a dynamic where you are questioning your worth, if you're questioning, maybe I shouldn't have joked that hard. Maybe I shouldn't have shared that much. Maybe I spoke too much. Maybe I spoke too little. Mm. If you are in a situation that makes you question that, you're in the wrong situation.
Yeah.
It's so simple, isn't it? But that's the measure.
I mean, I would say that I think sometimes we have that almost paranoia and ask ourselves that question when we have been told that we were too much too often, even when we end up being in a space that is technically safe. So we have to work out whether, I mean, I guess that's just like the stages of the relationship, working out whether that person is truly making you feel that way or is that you bringing old scars to the table?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I completely agree. Like the emotional safety that someone can provide, even if they're not going to be a person for the rest of your life, you don't have those answers yet, sets a new standard for every kind of interaction that you want to have with anybody else.
1,000,000%.
I look back at the men I've dated in the last 3 years and it's a joke. like in terms of all of the things I'm able to currently speak about, I had to ask myself the honest question of, would you realistically have thought that you could have had those conversations with any of those? No, dude. Mm. No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I then love that.
The other realm of, you know, getting out of my own way and also at the same time trusting myself. Same thing goes for my professional life. Like, I had to go on a 4-day hardcore mission to Paris for work, where I had to basically lead some business development initiatives and then also moderate a session on stage. And then I ended up emceeing part of the show. And the thing is that I had gunned to my boss for this trip and been like, I really think that there's something here. We can actually build something. There's a lot of potential in terms of the people we can meet. Like, can I go? And I had built such a case that he turned around and went, all right, I trust you. Go do it then. And instantly I was like, oh my God, what have I signed up for?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I can do it. I really don't think I can do it. So I literally got to Paris thinking, I'm going to fuck this up. But then something in my brain clicked and went, well, you could, but you may as well try because you're the only one here that's going to be able to do it. So just see what happens. And listen, I got everything out of this trip that I could have possibly needed. Like, I got all the key contacts that we needed. I wasn't supposed to MC the show. I ended up MCing the show. Like, I ended up getting messages from some of the people I met after the trip to my personal phone number being like, hey, it was sick meeting you. Let's keep in touch. Let's work out a deal or a partnership. Like, nuts. And I just realized that emotionally or professionally, just get out of your own way and then your own skills are going to talk for you. Mm. And I was like, oh, I knew I was sick. I knew it. So yeah, I feel like it started the year on like...
That's such a good lesson.
Yeah.
Get out of your own way. It's like, it also backs up that whole notion of, you know, like, what if it works out amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So start that healthcare, that wellness
business idea. Yeah. And with the mindset of like, what if it works out
amazing? That's what happened with this podcast.
Yeah. And it's not that bad. It's okay. Okay. Love that lesson. I think that's very valuable time for me to take that in. Now I have to answer the question myself, which is, what was it again? What was the biggest lesson? What did I learn about myself in the last few months? I'd say that I no longer need to hear other people's reasons. I no longer need to hear like justifications. I no longer need to like, basically, I think it's got something to line in with closure. It needs to line in with being let down by others.
Give me a context to which this applies.
Okay, so for example, I have a friend who basically fell short of the just expectations of friendship that I had on all my friends. And I know that it's, you know, we're told, keep your standards to yourself. But I argue that when it comes to relationships, you are 100% allowed to have standards. You're supposed to have standards for the partner that you choose for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you are supposed to have standards for the friendships you keep in your circle, because that's valuable and you should have standards for them. And so I had an incident with a friend where she fell short of the standards of friendship that I expect from my close friends.
Sure.
And instead of sticking around to have this like giant like unraveling chat of like why and your reasons, and like firstly she wasn't accountable, so I think that I need to add that to it. Okay. She wasn't being accountable, and I actually found myself taking a different approach where I just sort of quietly took a step back, and I didn't do this whole announcement of like, okay, bye.
Right.
Because I don't need to do those things anymore.
It's like the slow fade.
The slow fade. Like, you did something that wasn't great. And instead of doing the previous habit of like, let's unpack this, let's spend ages talking about it, let's make it into a thing, I just saw what she had to say through her actions and decided like, you know, I don't need to stick around for like your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And I'm not saying it in a bitchy way. I'm not like, oh, I'm too good to not hear your reasons. That's not it at all. I just let people's actions tell me who they are.
And,
there's a very strong power in being able to see exactly what that is and deciding for yourself, I fuck with that or I don't need that.
It's also just coming down to that principle of trusting that what is for you will stay.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you step back and that person doesn't come forward, then let the distance remain.
Like, I don't need to chase people down to hear their accountability. Yeah. I don't need to like put myself out there to request closure when it comes to situations, even for work situations and all that. I just notice that I have less of a grip or a need to receive any type of like, I don't know.
But is it also kind of like not feeling like you need to force someone to see your way or your perspective?
Yes.
So it's like, I don't need to over-explain. If it's wrong for me, I'm going to step back. If you fail to understand that, I can't help you.
Exactly that.
Right.
Like, I'm not in a position where I don't need to over-explain, and vice versa, I don't need you to over-explain.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I like to think we're all in this pool together where it's starting to become a lot simpler of where we put our energy around, and your actions tell me a certain thing and I'm gonna just believe that.
Right.
Yeah. But it's no hate. Like, it's no hate at all. There's no negativity out there of being like, that person's like it now, or that situation or that client is it now. I'm simply like, okay, that's not where I'm at now, and I'm taking a step back and I'm cool with it.
It's a bit of release. It's a bit of like letting go of control and not trying to get an outcome, like work towards an outcome you think you're supposed to have, and rather just being like, let the outcome unfold as and how it should do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude. That sounds mature as shit. Like, because I think that sort of logic applies, because you're talking about it in the context of a friendship. But I think, and I'm willing to bet, for a lot of people listening, when they hear the words closure, it always relates to a romantic relationship. We think we're supposed to have that final chat. We think we're supposed to have the conversation that gives us all the answers and lets us over-explain our answers. Mm-hmm. Like, it always comes down to this feeling of, I really want you to see how I see this. And that's going to give me comfort that you recognize why I left. While in your adulthood, you're basically saying, I don't need to spend that energy. If that person has those questions, they can ask me, but it's not my duty to show you.
Exactly. In fact, I think the need, like the whole understanding of what closure has been fed to me, at least, is that, like you said, we need to have this like final chat, this final moment. And I'm challenging that. I don't think we need that anymore. Because I think if it works in a partnership, friendship, work relationships, or romantic relationships, I think if we like hold closure as this final end all, we're giving away too much power. Because what if that person or that situation meets you for this chat of closure or letter of closure or however you want to address it, and they don't step up to the needs that you want in order to feel that closure? Like, they don't say the things that you actually need them to say.
Yeah.
Or they don't, like, you know, hold accountability for the things that you know that they did.
Right.
Then you're losing your power. Yeah. It's like too open-ended.
Like, the success of the closure actually comes from them. And you can't guarantee that.
Exactly.
Because then it just comes down to, like, you have to define what closure looks like for you if you cannot rely on that other person to give it to you. And I think it's the whole, you know, closure comes from within. I feel like everyone says that, but no one actually knows
exactly
how to do it. And sometimes it is walk away.
Closure is not a two-way handshake. Closure is not you putting your hand out to shake hands with someone. It's not. Closure is you being like, I don't need to put any more energy out towards the situation for me. I'm taking it back. And so I think that's been my lesson in a lot of different avenues, not necessarily, not only romantic, not only friendship, mm-hmm. in general. Like, I'm just done with the over-explaining and the over-receiving.
And what has been the outcome of having learned that lesson? Like, what has changed for you as a result of learning that?
Oh, it's just, I think it's really lightened the load.
Okay.
For the classic overthinker like me, it's lightened the load of just having something else on my mind.
Yeah, because I think also it comes down to a lot of pride, and you have to let go of your pride, because the thing that you're protecting with those conversations when you're demanding them to be two ways, your ego.
Mm-hmm.
And is your ego your ego demanding the satisfaction or the upper hand or the self-protection? And then if you're basically saying, listen, you're just going to have to stay a little hungry because this isn't going to be the thing that actually feeds you,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you go farther, don't you? Like,
so the other day, my girlfriend was talking to me about meeting her ex because he was in the country and like they didn't have her version of quote unquote closure. And I asked her, I'm like, what does closure look like for you? What do you want from him? Do you want him to sit there and list out all the shitty things he did to you and say sorry? Because he's not going to do that. He's just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he does, that's amazing. But you need to expect and know that he's not going to.
Mm.
So if you're going there with this expectation and hope that he's going to fulfill this like closure fantasy of apologizing, taking accountability, he's not. And you're just going to get hurt, girl. So don't go.
It's interesting because I think in my experience, I was sort of the other end of that conversation where when it came to breakups or when it came to, you know, experiences like myself getting ghosted, there's always this initial response of like, I want an answer. But then I always took the perspective of, I don't actually give that person credit for being able to tell me what I need to hear. So then I was instantly like, well, then I'll just move on my own without that conversation. But then when it came to, you know, the bigger breakups or the bigger separations, those people come to me asking me for closure and asking for that conversation. And in wanting to offer that grace, I would always say yes, because I always thought if there was information I could give them to offer, you know, peace or acceptance, fine. But then the issue was that it didn't matter how many times we had the conversation. It didn't matter how many times they thought that was the chat to give them closure. It wasn't, because the closure was going to come from them anyway, except they thought it was supposed to come from me. So it actually really didn't matter how many times we had the chat, how many times I turned up to like offer my side of the story. They would keep coming back because it was another fix that they needed. Mm-hmm. It was another like piece of, I don't know.
It's like a hit.
Yeah, it was almost like a painkiller. Mm. It's like, if I can understand this, maybe it'll hurt less. And I learned very quickly that it was costing me so much energy to try and give someone else closure that, for one, it was further evidence to me that I was glad that somehow I intuitively didn't seek closure from someone else, but two, that it really... It takes so much energy out of both of you, and it's so unnecessary.
And also, when you say, like, I'm doing this to help them have closure, like, is it them for them or for you?
That was the thing. I needed to make peace because I felt bad for their pain or what was happening. So I thought maybe I can solve their wound, which is not possible, as I learned. And all that it did was burn me out and make them all the more hungry to take more from me to
exactly.
find out.
Exactly.
And so it only came to the point of me saying, we cannot engage anymore because this is costing too much and both of us are hurting, that they had to find that closure for themselves in their own way by me cutting that bond entirely.
Yeah.
And I think that actually really does stand true for a lot of relationships. Like, they would say, oh, you know, you can communicate through it. Some things you can't. Some things you just have to cut the cord.
I totally agree. So I think this whole, coming back to this, like the origins of this whole like seeking outward for a sense of closure or acceptance or understanding, I think it's overrated. I think we can take all the power back and we can do the work within without like bleeding our energy and giving it to someone else or a situation outside of who we are, because that is true power. When you know that you can heal yourself, with yourself. I mean, yeah, you're going to have your friends to lean on, but I mean, you're not going to the source that created it to create the sense of closure.
But is it overrated or is it false? I think it's false.
What, you think closure is false?
I think seeking closure from someone else is a false idea.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay, wait.
Closure.
I don't know. I don't know if it's fully false, because I've had moments where I have felt a sense of closure, but it wasn't from what I was seeking. It just happened. For example, right?
Okay.
For example, this is the closure I'm talking about. When I was a teenager, I had a shitty boyfriend. Who didn't? And then some...
Me. Because I didn't date till way later.
Sometime in my early 20s, I'm talking like 6-7 years after this teenage boy and I broke up, he sent me a letter apologizing for the way he treated me when we were teenagers.
Mm.
And that was a really nice letter to receive. But by the time I received it, I wasn't thinking about him. I was like in my 20s. It was so long ago. But when he received it, I don't know what I felt, but it felt like a sense of closure.
Sure. But don't you think that you had sought, like you had found your own closure with that relationship prior?
Yes.
And also I feel like in having written that letter, that was him giving himself closure.
That was him, yes.
So yes, I can understand like the feeling that you have, but I do think you had also achieved it earlier.
I achieved it earlier.
It was a reaffirmation of it.
But it was
maybe.
Like, yeah, it was a beautiful message. It was a really nice moment. But that was the version of closure where it's like, I didn't seek closure. It sort of like happened one day very naturally for both of us.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not that closure is overrated or it's false. I think closure is something that you just can't control and you can't seek out.
Which relates back to my point. Get out your own way. Right?
Yeah.
Because think about it. Like, we're trying to over control a situation. We're trying to get the answers that we want. We're trying to like do the thing. And then we're like, oh, wow. It turns out the harder I try, the farther it goes.
Mm.
And if you just surrender a little bit and let things just happen, maybe it will work out, because mm-hmm. all the groundwork you've laid out for the years prior is going to take care of you.
Yeah. Trust that the things that are meant to be are going to take place. Just let them go.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Every time we come down to these gorgeous, may I add, conclusions of Just So We're Clear, it always is so simple, isn't it? Like, it's like so simple. The most simple things ever. But we take such a journey to get there.
According to my co-star.
Jesus, the tables have turned.
I know.
Yes. So
honestly, I am having a field day having co-star on my phone because it makes me laugh every single day. And one day it said, Marissa, you tend to play your life on hard. And I thought, damn, astrology's right. And we do, like, we try to overcomplicate things and we try, like, figure out all the answers for everything. And it turns out the answer is just surrender, let it happen.
Anyway, guys, it is so good to be back. Season five, episode one.
This year's theme is consistency. Watch us fall over at the first hurdle.
Also, just letting you know that to commemorate the start of the new season, we have some lovely books to give away in partnership with Times Read. So shout out to them. And these books that we basically want to give you, all the details of this will be posted on our Instagram. The Instagram handle is...
Just So We Clear, not We're Clear. It's all one word, no underscores, no fancy lettering or symbols.
But you already knew that. So come find us. Don't forget to give us some love. And as always, we love hearing from you. So keep writing in. And we can't wait to see what this year brings.
We love you forever. Goodbye.
Bye.